Welcome back, folks. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I'm just looking for a really good breakdown of what's happening in Mexico. Let's go first to clip number 25. This is Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum when asked about why she was not cracking down on the criminal cartels that basically operate with impunity in her country. Let's watch. She says the narco is not an option. Going after the narco is not an option. It's not an option. First, because it is outside the framework of the law. All these, the right wing, the mouths, the words, the rule of law, and defend the war against the narco. The war against the narco is outside the law because, as I said or have said on several occasions, it is permission to kill without any trial. And that in Mexico, nobody or very few are in agreement. It is outside the framework of the law, and secondly, it did not serve any purpose other than to increase homicides in Mexico and the level of violence. So these are called authoritarian because they are authoritarian, is going towards fascism. Yeah, you're fascist if you want to round up the criminal cartels that run your country. Mexico did not want to fight the cartels because she said it would be authoritarian to simply clamp down on them. Okay, but do you recognize the language she's using? Did it happen to strike a bell in your head that what she said is literally exactly the argument that activists are using against ICE? That they're saying, well, you know, what this really is extrajudicial killing. It's the government just murdering its own citizens. You can't go to war with criminal elements inside your own country. You have to, you know, arrest them like they're, you know, the guy stealing bread from the store. You have to put them under arrest and you have to take them to a court and you have to try them and, you know, give them all the due process in the world. When in reality, we see the videos, these are militia armed gangs. If you try to actually arrest one of their leaders, they will burn your city down. You have to go after them like they're an army because that's what they are. But you heard exactly the same reasoning, exactly the same, you know, phrases when you talk about going after illegal immigrants or gangs here in America, TDA and others. That's just, well, that's authoritarian. That's you know, in violation of the rule of law. We have to stick to the rule of law. So be suspicious of anybody invoking the rule of law to explain why criminals can't be punished. Do you understand? That anybody invoking the so-called rule of law to explain why they can't actually stop criminals from harming innocent people is a liar and a manipulator and is in bed with the criminals. Obviously. And she's not the only one. The president before her had something that was like, he had a thing called hugs, not bullets. Hugs, not bullets. Crew, look that up. See if I'm remembering that correctly. Hugs, not bullets, when facing off against the cartels that will routinely, you know, skin people alive. Mexico appears to abandon its hugs, not bullets strategy as bloodshed plagues the country. Now, they just stopped announcing that's what they were doing because it was so ridiculous to say that you're going to treat the rampant criminal militia, frankly, bigger army than yours, to hugs. You're going to treat them with hugs. You're going to hug them and tell them that they're loved, and that will make them understand that they don't need crime. Like, I don't know what it is that's made the entire Western world devolve into this preschool ideology of just like friendly. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but at a certain point, you got to get over it. You got to understand the rule of law itself is at threat by these organizations. And so to operate against them outside of the rule of law is, in fact, the thing you need to do to reinforce the rule of law. And if you think this is impossible, if you think this can't be done, I suggest you look at El Salvador, which had a bigger and worse problem than Mexico does, but solved it by ruthlessly going after the cartels and imbuing the El Salvadorian army with the righteous fury of crusaders, understanding that they were rescuing their country from lawlessness, and in doing so, they had to be ruthless with the criminals.
The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at X.com.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The War Room. What's going on in Mexico is very troubling. Should definitely concern all of us. Again, I'm not saying I told you so. It's just I did spend like a lot of time last week talking about how Mexico is constantly teetering on the edge of all-out horrific violence and pointing out that America is headed in that direction too, and that it's not gigantic gulfs between our two civilizations. It's just America prides itself and deliberately imbues our citizens with the idea that we do not stand for corruption. We do not allow our public servants to take a little off the top. Now, that's going away because we're being flooded by people from the third world who think it's super clever and, just brilliant. And that's how you get success, is you undermine the system itself or you take advantage wherever you possibly can. So, like, we're going in that direction. We're still miles and miles away from where Mexico's at. And that's because our culture is different. Our tolerance level is much higher or lower, I guess. We don't tolerate nearly as much as the Mexican people do. And I don't even blame them necessarily. I mean, they have had their guns stripped from them. There's a fantastic documentary called Cartel Land that shows a Robin Hood-esque figure attempting to stand up against the cartels by arming the regular people of Mexico. And of course, the cartels kill him, and the government helps them in that by trying to shut him down at every pass. And, you know, it's just a reminder of, like, what it takes to get back once you've lost what we have. You understand what I mean? Like, right now, we have guns, we have still sort of the remnants of freedom that our forefathers gave us. We have, in general, and just certainly outside of the cities, fairly safe locales to send our children and everything. And that can all go away very easily. And once it does, how the hell do you get it back? How the hell are the people of Mexico supposed to free themselves from the chains of the cartels when they don't have guns, and the cartels are in bed with the government, and, you know, any attempt to peacefully, politically go up against them, you'll just be murdered? Any attempt to fight back against them both get shut down by the government coming in to confiscate your guns, and then you'll be murdered by the cartel in a brutal and ruthless way. Like, how do you get it back? Mexico's only hope at this point is America. Is America coming in and rescuing them from themselves? But what if America didn't exist? Or what if America becomes Mexico 2.0? Who comes in to rescue us? And if it's up to us entirely, how do you do that when the government and the criminal cartels are unified and operating in tandem to steal your rights, crush any opposition, exploit you to the maximum degree, poison or kill you if you resist? I mean, what do you do at that point? Where do you go? How do you organize against that? You know, again, we have this system that's so wonderful that, you know, we have people that are vehemently against it that go out and, you know, they think that the way that you change things is by going out and protesting, because they're used to this sort of powerful but theoretically loving government that, hey, the people are unhappy. Well, let's, you know, see what we can do to calm them down or to, you know, satisfy their complaints. We have that First Amendment right to demand redress of grievances, and occasionally that works. Try protesting against the cartel. Do you think they care? Do you think you can go and wave a sign saying, stop selling drugs, stop killing us? Are they going to go, you know, you're right. I didn't realize how many people were against us. This is a pretty sizable protest, actually. Maybe we should let them have their right. Like, no, they just kill you. They just shoot you. Yeah, I'm saying all this because, like, we are on trajectory towards Mexico. And you really got to imagine, like, what would it take to get back to a place that's safe and reasonable and functional, and you don't have to know somebody to get anything done? Like, what happens when we lose what we have in America, and what does it take to get it back? Because you can look at Mexico and see it ain't easy. Once it gets to a certain point, once you reach that critical mass of power from the cartels, they just run things. Let's go to clip 38 here. This is a man named Cuznvin on TikTok, Cuznvin. He gives an update on the situation in Mexico, and I think he has some interesting insight into how this will be seen and treated by the Mexican government. Let's watch.
Cuz here, Mexico is done. In my opinion, Mexico is done. Why? Because if anybody decides to travel to Mexico after what occurred today, you got to be out of your mind. In my opinion, the tourism of Mexico is completely shot right now. It is very, very evident that the government of Mexico has completely lost control and is completely incompetent. They are not able to handle what is currently going on in the streets of Puerto Rico, pretty much all over the country of Mexico. I mean, if anybody decides to vacation at one of these resorts in Cancun or Puerto Vallarta, listen, you guys are out of your mind. You're out of your mind because it is completely done. Has gotten from bad to worse. I shot a video a couple hours ago. I thought, you know, worse was over. It's getting worse. They are now issuing ultimatums. The cartel are now issuing ultimatums. Meet our demands or else we're going to enter your homes and hotels tonight and begin people, citizens and tourists alike. This is fucking ridiculous. They're issuing ultimatums. And guess what? As it looks right now, they're looking to follow through with these ultimatums. Listen, there's shit happening all over Mexico. In Cancun, there's shootings and blockades all over the streets, carjackings erupting in what we consider one of the most popular destinations in the world. Everybody loves the resorts of Cancun, right? Everybody loves the resorts of Puerto Vallarta. Been there dozens of times. Absolutely love it. After what's happened today, never even consider flying in that country again. In regard to Puerto Vallarta, we know what's going on in Puerto Vallarta. It's up in flames, buildings, cars, blockades. I mean, everything is on fire. Gas stations are on fire. I mean, they're having shootouts in the middle of the streets, right, between cartel members and the Mexican military. They just killed two National Guardsmen and injured another one in an ambush. I mean, they're not around. They're not f***ing around. It got bad. As far as Guadalajara Airport goes, I talked about this. Passengers are stranded. Flights are suspended indefinitely. No flights in and out of Guadalajara Airport. So guess what? If you want to leave the country for your safety, you're f***ing stuck. You can't go anywhere. I mean, these videos are out of control. And just when you think shit can't get worse, you know what I mean? More information comes out. In regard to the country of Mexico, schools are closed nationwide as of tomorrow. The entire statewide system is shut down. All public events are canceled indefinitely until further notice, and that is throughout the country of Mexico, not just in Jalisco and in Puerto Vallarta, throughout the country. We all know that the National Guard is actively engaged in shootouts throughout the streets of Puerto Vallarta and Jalisco with these out-of-control cartel members, right? And the U.S. Embassy, listen, they have a shelter-in-place order throughout Puerto Vallarta, Guadalajara, Nuevo León, and Guerrero, pretty much in major cities throughout Mexico, right? Shelter-in-place, do not move, okay, until we tell you to move. In Canada, out of all people, right? Guess what they did? They're mimicking, right, exactly what the United States are doing, identical warrants. both countries are pulling flights. No more flights in and out of Mexico to and from Canada. Now, again, shit is getting worse and worse and worse. Now, I want to talk about the governor, right? Pablo Limas. Now, this governor here, listen, they've got Black Hawk helicopters. Black Hawk helicopters hovering around these cities. They have now mobilized. The Mexican military has now mobilized heavy equipment. Okay, they dispersed them out the streets of Mexico, you know, in these cities to handle the cartel members. It's f***ing urban warfare. They're just f***ing shooting like the Wild Wild West. I mean, you can't make this shit up. But Governor Pablo Limas, he has confirmed that the military surge, quote unquote, is part of a statewide code red emergency designed to prevent the cartel from following through on its threats as far as entering hotels and homes, right, and of urban warfare, because they know that these guys mean business. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. I mean, is, man, they have issued chilling warnings, and in my opinion, they're going to carry through on these warnings. All over a man who pretty much just what he did as far as bringing the dope into the United States and the rest of the world, okay, and everything is going on because of death. It blows my mind that we have people here in the United States that are advocating for, you know, for this country, a government who's turned their back on the Mexican people in favor of these cartel members, and we've got people on the streets of the United States that are saying we aren't stolen. It just blows my mind. Okay, the hypocrisy and the stupidity of some people living in our country. Anyway, shit is getting from bad to worse in Mexico. It's getting dark out there. Listen, nothing happens at night. We all know that. And we'll see what happens. But I got a pretty good feeling that tomorrow morning, you know, what I'm telling you right now, listen, it's going to get worse. Let me know your thoughts and opinions. Please like, follow, and share. Be blessed. Ciao for now.
Yeah, so that was a bit of a longer video, but I thought he was absolutely fantastic in the way that he broke everything down, including the, you know, implications of this. The tacos are still worth the risk, people say. I'm sure. Look, you know, all the love to Mexico, but, like, God forbid we ever become Mexico. I love Mexico as a neighbor. Don't want to live there. In fact, infuriated that I'm being made to live there. I didn't move to Mexico, but Mexico is moving to me. I thought that was a pretty thorough breakdown there. And die hard, viva la muerte, when vacation turns to chaos. Yeah, that's kind of what it sounds like. It's the same with the crew during the break. Like, there's always that fantasy or whatever, where, like, you go into a movie, and then you come out of the movie, and the whole city's on fire. Like, that must have happened to some people in Puerto Vallarta. Some people went to take a nap, and everything was peaceful, and the sky was blue, and the sun was shining, and then they woke up to Black Hawk helicopters and the city on fire. And it's just a reminder of how easily these trappings of civilization can quite literally go up in flames. But we'll move on. I have a lot of other stuff to talk about. I did find, quickly here, we'll move on to what's happening in the political realm and the fallout from the Tucker Carlson-Mike Huckabee interview. That may have saved the world. That interview may have saved the world by stopping World War III. We'll get to that. We're also going to get to a lot about the UK grooming scandal. Some very disturbing information has come out about that. So I'll get to that later this hour. And then we'll be joined by Rex Jones in the third hour. And we'll take your calls and cover a lot more breaking news. But this post has gone viral. And I think it's brilliant. I think it sums up what I've been trying to say about this young woman, Alyssa, I think her name is Alyssa Liu, the figure skater that the left is trying to claim as their own. But it's not going to work. But it's not going to work because she's too joyful and happy and successful to ever truly be on the left. This is from a Reddit account. It says, true unpopular opinion. So there's a subreddit called Unpopular Opinion. We were supposed to post things that wouldn't get voted up in other subreddits, but they can't resist. They can't resist the hive mind. And so now there's a true unpopular opinion where things can get posted and despite the Reddit moderators disagreeing. So it says this. This Alyssa Liu discourse perfectly captures what's wrong with modern progressivism. For anyone that didn't know, Alyssa Liu won gold in U.S. figure skating. She has received overwhelming praise from virtually everybody for her skating. On X, a lot of right-leaning people and pages have also praised her for being the archetypal immigrant success story. Since her dad came here from China to become a lawyer, and now she's a world champion athlete, as well as just being generally happy that an American won gold and is feeling patriotic about it. This has been met with scathing mockery from a lot of progressives who are quick to point out she's progressive and woke and likely hates most of what the conservatives hates most of the conservatives who are praising her. This is the problem with progressives. People on the right are happy to see her succeed. They're happy that her dad came here through the legal immigration process, has contributed and been successful, and now she's done the same thing in turn. They overwhelmingly don't care about her politics, especially because she hasn't used the Olympics as a megaphone to broadcast her political beliefs. She's just done what she was there to do. Obviously, if the situations were reversed, you'd have a completely different reaction. If it came to light that she was a MAGA supporter, progressives would relentlessly bash and shame her. They wouldn't praise or promote her performance, and they'd largely only care about her political views. Anyone with common sense who's been alive for the last decade knows this is true because we've seen it happen over and over again. This is why so many people can't stand modern progressivism. No matter what you do or achieve or what kind of person you are overall, the wrong political views are a complete overriding non-starter. This is not the case for conservatives, which is why progressives are confused and think it's a gotcha to point out that she's a progressive. It's not. None of them care. Watching this play out has, in real time, has been fascinating. It really encapsulates the problems with modern progressivism. Yeah, absolutely. And it's like all of the problems, right? It's the fact that they want to take credit for and, you know, be involved in things that fundamentally they hate, like athletic accomplishment or national pride. This is completely anathema. It's a complete, you know, rejection of everything they believe to embrace anything. But it doesn't matter. They're hypocrites and, you know, they want to take this stuff. The perception that the left hates the stole it from their MAGA-aligned political associations and on-ice personas. Oh, yeah, no, this literally happened this year. There was I assume this is the person you're talking about, right? She has a boyfriend that is like a MAGA supporter, and so the left hates her. Captains? Oh, assistant and captains of the hockey team are MAGA people? The Kachucks. Our big MAGA supporters. Hey, guess what? I was celebrating the Hockey League championship without even knowing their politics. What a shocking idea that might be. But again, progressives want to take control of these things that actually they hate because they want to just destroy them because their whole worldview is centered around the concept of those people are having fun without me. I want to destroy their fun. That's basically all of progressivism. Those people are succeeding, but they're not giving me part of their success, so I want to destroy their success. So they, you know, it exposes that hypocrisy, that sort of meanness and parasitism, where they don't create anything. Nothing they do draws a big crowd that a bunch of non-progressive people are like, oh, let's go enjoy that and take that over. Like, we never do that because nothing they do is entertaining or fun or attractive in any way. So they don't have to worry about that. They just are constantly glomming onto and trying to take control of what we make, things that people who they hate create. They want it so they can destroy it. But on top of that, it's the mindset of the progressives that is the real underlying problem with everything going on in America, is that they do not have an image for the conservative mind. They cannot fathom what it's like to be a conservative, what we actually believe. And this inability of theirs is so poisonous that we can't even explain it to them, because we do over and over again. Like, we just explain it outright, forthrightly, in a blatant and simple way. Like, here's what we believe. And they just can't even hear it. They don't accept it because their mindset, their worldview is so, what's the word? They're enemies to everybody. They're so antagonistic towards everything, so hateful towards anyone that's not themselves. They cannot imagine that people don't think like them. They really can't. And so it really must be like baffling and confusing to them that there's this, I guess, supposedly progressive girl that MAGA, we just don't care, and we love her anyway. And, like, they really don't understand that. They really do think it's a gotcha that this 20-year-old girl is a liberal. Oh my gosh. So shocking. We don't care. We don't care. What she's not doing is draping a foreign flag over her shoulders, like that goo woman. That's what we care about. Does she have to agree with us on everything? Obviously not. Be nice if she did. She probably will. I mean, the way she's being treated, I mean, likely just because MAGA likes her, progressives will start to hate her, even though she agrees with them. Even though, you know, she should be on their side. You know, if she doesn't come out and denounce MAGA, progressives will denounce her. And so, like, even if she's not MAGA now, she will be. She will be, because she'll see how progressives treat her. And she'll see, you know, how they really feel about somebody who is hardworking and successful, a champion, a genius in their own right. And the left doesn't celebrate these people. The left doesn't uplift and honor these people. And of course, the absurdity of all of it is just taking the actual progressive mindset and applying it would mean that she, I don't know, would have to give her points away, would have to give her gold away. That it's not, you know, her own achievement. I mean, you know, think about all the privileges she has, right? She has white privilege because she's white passing. She has pretty privilege. She has cisgender privilege. I mean, did she even earn this medal? Or is it really just a collection of privileges that she's taking advantage of? I mean, I could be a world-class figure skater too if I was, you know, genetically similar to her. So, like, why should she be celebrated? Why should she be allowed to succeed when other people who don't have her advantages fail? I mean, she had a loving family. Not everybody has a loving family. So why should she get to have a loving family when nobody else does? Why should she get to have a family that can pay for lessons when other families can't pay for lessons? I think all of the lessons should be removed and only, you know, given out to certain people through the government, right? I mean, this is, again, the absurdity. And the Olympics used to be a key stage where this difference between America and everybody else was on display. Because America, especially when we were up against the USSR, this is why the big Miracle on Ice was such a big deal, was because Americans were not professional athletes. The whole like wonderful thing about the Olympics, yeah, that's what I said about this. While there's drama over leftists trying to claim Melissa Liu as woke, I want to remind you that the Olympics, figure skating and excellence itself is anathema to their entire worldview. Leftists are not allowed to enjoy the Olympics. If you can open that bottom one, I think I already went over all this, but this is what the Olympics are. Nationhood, gendered contest, objective empirical outcomes, peaceful cooperation between sovereign states, honor, physical accomplishments. I'm going to say it again. Leftists are not allowed to enjoy the Olympics. If you vote for Democrat, you're not allowed to celebrate the Olympics. You're not allowed to watch them on TV. You're not allowed to enjoy the celebrations afterwards. You are an enemy of the Olympics. Because you're an enemy of humanity, and the Olympics is an expression, possibly our highest expression, of humanity for humanity's sake. Not for profit, not for gain, not because it helps you to you know, crush the will of your enemies, because it's a celebration of the vitality of humanity and the power of the human spirit. So leftists are not allowed to enjoy them.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. We're going to talk about domestic politics now. As I don't know, it's almost like the Trump administration thought that the Epstein files would be like a storm they could weather. They thought, like most things, this would have a 2-week shelf life online and in the news, and then that would be it. And so they sort of need to not talk about it for 2 weeks till nobody cares anymore. That's not happening. And because they're not treating this at all like they should, it's kind of making everybody go insane. Again, this could be deliberate. This could very much be a part of the psychological manipulation going on. But I don't know. I mean, after all, these people are not, you know, God. Not everything that happens is playing into their hands just like intended. they do have fairly good systems set up so that every problem is presented with their solution. Like, I understand that, but it's like happening in a couple different ways and sort of all over is that you have people going insane about this. Now, again, we've known about this for 20 years, and none of this was a surprise to us, but everybody goes through a period of moderate insanity when you learn this stuff for the first time. Because when you really think about it, you really understand how bad this all is and that everybody in power knew about it the whole time and the media knew about it and covered it up and allowed it to happen and were in fact engaged in some of it. And you really get the overwhelming feeling that like the whole world is involved in this truly sickening, sickening activities. It can make you feel insane. And then when you see the government ignore it, like, I get it. I get why people are going insane. And it's sort of expressing itself in a number of different ways. One of them, I would say, is the apparent assassination attempt from yesterday. Law enforcement killed an unarmed man who was trying to get into Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort. The incident occurred at a time when the U.S. is facing a spike in political violence. In 2024, a gunman's bullet grazed Trump's ear during a campaign rally in Pennsylvania, and a man later convicted of attempted assassination was spotted hiding in the bushes of a Florida golf course with a semi-automatic rifle while Trump was on the course. This man was carrying a shotgun and a fuel can, the U.S. Secret Service said in a statement, adding that he was observed at the resort's North Gate around 1:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Two U.S. Secret Service agents and a Palm Beach County Sheriff's deputy confronted the man and ordered him to drop the two items, Palm Beach County Sheriff Rick Bradshaw said in a press conference on Sunday morning. The man put down the gas can and raised the shotgun to a shooting position, prompting law enforcement to open fire. You know, I kind of wish, this is a Reuters article, I feel like they could have gone a little bit more into the whole this incident follows a rise in political violence thing, because, you know, they only put in two examples, the two assassination attempts against Donald Trump. But there were more of those, first of all. There was also the Charlie Kirk killing last year. That must have slipped their mind a little bit. There are the attacks on the ICE agents that are currently, you know, going through court and being convicted of terroristic activity where, you know, 10 people from an Antifa cell set a fire outside of an ICE facility to draw out the agents in order to shoot at them. You know, I think if they would have kept going with their explanation of political violence, one conclusion would have been inescapable. It's all coming from the left. Oh, it turns out it's all coming from the left, as they routinely and consistently and constantly claim the right wing is violent and try to crack down on the right endlessly, which in reality is only giving fuel to the actually violent people. If the right wing was actually violent, then calling out the right as violent would be good because you'd be clamping down on the violent side. But since the right is not violent, constantly portraying us as the violent side is actually stochastic terrorism, as they put it. Stochastic terrorism, however they say it, is basically inspiring and justifying in the minds of the radical left violence against right wingers. Because then they're not insane terrorists trying to kill or hurt innocent people. No, they're righteous freedom fighters standing up against the Nazis. So literally, I mean, as they misrepresent political violence continuously, what they're actually doing is contributing to the very political violence that they're covering up. And this is all about the Epstein files, apparently. Would-be Mar-a-Lago assassin obsessed with fake allegations linking Trump to Epstein. Oh, Hassan Abi says it's another Trump supporter tried to kill the president yesterday. And it barely made news because that's how common right-wing violence is. No one believes you. You don't believe you. My God. I mean, do I need to explain? Do I really need to? Listen up, Hassan. Listen up, Hassan. If he tried to kill Trump, he probably didn't like Trump. You absolute moron. I mean, my God. And he's like, they know they're lying. Everything is a projection. Everything they claim about us is clearly a projection by them. And it just is endless. I'm glad to see his audience is not. Wait, scroll up. Hold on. Somebody was agreeing with him. I want to see the agreement. Here you go. For anyone confused, yes, he was extremely right wing and he was a former MAGA supporter, but he got very fed up with how Trump was dealing with the Epstein files and suspected that he was helping to cover it up and wanting to kill him. So yes, he was a right winger. Does that make you a right winger? Okay, so everybody against Epstein was a right winger now? These freaking people. President Trump's latest would-be assassin has reportedly become obsessed with false claims about Jeffrey Epstein that have been peddled by Democrats and their corporate media allies. Early Sunday morning, an armed man, and this story, by the way, is from SlayNews.com, an armed man who entered the secure perimeter of President Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate in Palm Beach was shot and killed after allegedly pointing a shotgun at a law enforcement officer. The incident occurred around 1:30 a.m. near the north gate of the property. According to U.S. Secret Service and Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, the suspect unlawfully entered the estate carrying a shotgun and a gas canister. When confronted, two Secret Service and a sheriff's deputy, the individual reportedly set the gas can down and aimed the shotgun. The suspect was announced dead at the scene after authorities returned gunfire or responded to the threat with gunfire. The president and first lady Melania Trump were in Washington, D.C. at the time of the incident and were not present at Mar-a-Lago. Authorities recovered a shotgun box from the suspect's vehicle and determined the firearm had been purchased while he was traveling from North Carolina. The suspect was identified as Austin Tucker Martin. Family members had reported him missing in North Carolina the day before the shooting. Speaking to TMZ, relatives described Martin as quiet and reserved. He reportedly worked at Pine Needles Lodge and Golf Club and supplemented his income by selling pencil sketches of landscapes and portraits. His cousin, 19-year-old Braden Fields, stated the family is a big Trump supporters, adding, "We are big Trump supporters, all of us, everybody." Fields said Martin generally avoided political discussion and appeared fearful of firearms. Authorities are reportedly examining Martin's recent fixation on the Jeffrey Epstein case as a potential factor in the incident. In the text messages, a coworker dated February 15th, Martin wrote, "I don't know if you've read up on the Epstein files, but evil is real and unmistakable." He also encouraged his coworker to spread what he believed was evidence of a government cover-up, writing, quote, the best people like you and I can do is use what little influence we have. Tell other people about what you hear about the Epstein files and what the government is doing about it. The Justice Department has released more than 3 million files related to the Epstein investigation. The records include emails, flight logs, videos, and a wide range of material. Some political opponents of Trump have pointed to the fact that his name appears in certain documents implying misconduct. However, President Trump has never been charged or formally accused of involvement in Epstein's criminal activities, despite years of investigation and the release of millions of pages of material. And it's just kind of one of these confusing things where it's like, okay, if you were actually, I don't know. So far, I haven't seen any evidence. I'm just trying to think this through, because if you're actually obsessed with the Epstein files, if you're actually like pouring through them endlessly, Donald Trump would not be the person that you'd be going after unless he was upset about the fact that it was, you know, it's being withheld and censored, in which case it is Trump doing that. Not that that's a valid reason to attack him or anything, but I don't understand how you would be obsessed with the Epstein files. If you're actually looking at them and actually reading them, you would not be going after Donald Trump. Unless you're concerned about the cover-up, but he released 3 million of the files that have all the information that you're going on. So that doesn't make any sense, actually. President Trump and Jeffrey Epstein were social acquaintances in the 90s. Their relationship deteriorated in 2004, and Epstein was subsequently banned from Mar-a-Lago. The ban reportedly followed allegations that Epstein had engaged in inappropriate conduct involving minors, including an incident in which he allegedly pressured an 18-year-old Mar-a-Lago spa worker and harassed the teenage daughter in front of another club member. After a complaint from the girl's father, Trump revoked Epstein's access to the property. Epstein later expressed hostility towards Trump in emails and recordings from 2017 to 19, calling him a horrible human being who was evil beyond belief and borderline insane. In 2006, after allegations that against Epstein became public, Trump contacted the Palm Beach Police Department regarding Epstein's activities. As Slate News reported, Trump told police that he was concerned about Epstein's behavior around young girls and rumors he'd heard about the financier. Trump described Epstein as disgusting and urged police to look into Ghislaine Maxwell, who he said was evil. So that's the thing. It's like, you're so obsessed with the evil of Jeffrey Epstein that you want to go kill one of his enemies? That doesn't even make sense. But I guess that's the view of the left. or I guess a diehard right winger, according to the idiots on X. But let's go to clip 46 here, because this is Donald Trump sort of responding to the fact that a lot of his, you know, base and most loyal supporters are unhappy with the current job he's doing. And just once again, this video makes me think that he is, despite all evidence to the contrary, he's being kept away from information. He is not being told the truth about what's going on. Let's watch.
Tom Holman, Kristi Noem, our people, they've been incredible, the job they've done. And they take nothing but abuse, but, you know, they're sort of pretty hardened to that, I think, because they know they're doing the right thing. It just amazes me that there's not more support out there. It's just, we actually have a silent support. I think it's a silent, I think it's a, well, that's how I won. I got probably 85 million votes. They say 78 million, 79 million. They cheated in this election, too. It was just too big to rig. Too big to rig.
Yeah, that's not true, Trump. I'm sorry to tell you this. There was a sizable amount of silent support during the presidential campaign, but now the people who silently reported you, the people who silently supported you, are now very loudly condemning you. So it's not that they're just like quietly supporting you. No, we're like very angry at what a failure the second administration has been and will continue to be, with statements like this. Statements that once again reiterate the fact that you don't know what's going on, that Trump has no idea how people feel about the job he's doing. And he's got to just be surrounded by sycophants that are telling him that this is business as usual. It's the left being loud and obnoxious, but the right wingers still, you know, have his complete confidence and are going to come out to vote for him. Now, they voted for you while you were president because it was, well, first of all, you said you'd do a bunch of stuff that you haven't done yet. And because everybody votes for president, but the midterms is a game of getting out the vote. And people aren't exactly happy about what you've done and aren't eager to, you know, give you backup, especially when you're endorsing people like Greg Abbott. When you're endorsing some of the senators and congressmen that he's been endorsing, like, they're just absolutely terrible endorsements that are awful. And yeah, from the Hill, 68% of respondents say Trump is focused on the wrong problems. Which maybe that's the whole issue, is Trump is like, I'm having all of this success, and we're like, we don't care. It's not us that you're helping. Why would we care that you're having success against, I don't know, Venezuela? Why would we care that you're having success against Iran, which you aren't even? But if you were, why would we care? You bombed Iran. Whoopty freaking do. What did that do for us? They're backing down in Minnesota. They're backing off mass deportations. They are still trying to get war with Iran going. Well, meanwhile, Mexico, the country to our immediate south, seems to be embroiled in a takeover by criminal gangs. And it'd be kind of nice to have our military supporting our immediate neighbors rather than Israel 10,000 miles away. And again, it's just obvious that that's the central contention of the Trump administration, the MAGA movement. It has been for the last 3 years at least, as any decent, reasonable people in the Republican Party are sickened by the behavior of Israel over the last couple years, and are sickened even more by the slavish devotion that the Trump administration shows to these evil, conniving scumbags. That hard to understand? Like, is nobody explaining that to him? Really sucks. It really does. Now, apparently, Tucker Carlson has been summoned to the White House for a dressing down by Donald Trump. At least that's the assumption. From the Daily Beast, Trump summoned to break up vicious MAGA fight. Hardline MAGA mouthpiece. Let me fix this for them here. Sorry, let me edit your activity, Daily Beast. Hardline Israel First mouthpiece Laura Loomer has roped the White House into her feud with Tucker Carlson, demanding that the president personally step in and admonish the former Fox News host. Loomer has launched attack after attack at Carlson since his heated interview on Friday with U.S. Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee. the two-hour showdown threw gasoline on the simmering feud between different wings of the MAGA movement, with Carlson drawing the ire of Loomer and her supporters by criticizing U.S. ties with Israel. In a flurry of posts on social media Monday, Loomer frantically called on Trump to condemn Carlson, once one of his biggest cheerleaders, and urged Attorney General Pam Bondi to go after him for being, as she puts it, a national security threat. So you have diehard Zionist MAGA infiltrator Laura Loomer demanding that Trump's DOJ go after Tucker Carlson as a criminal or a terrorist, a threat to national security. Why? Because he asked Mike Huckabee questions and let him answer. So he actually put the ambassador to Israel, put questions to him that were not easy to answer. And the way Mike Huckabee answered, it's actually terrible. It was actually so bad. His answers might have been so ridiculous that it stopped World War III, believe it or not. I'm not even exaggerating. So apparently Trump's plans for military action on Iran could have been complicated by Ambassador Huckabee's implied endorsement of Greater Israel. So this is from either Washington Post or New York Times article. It says, further complicating any final decisions on military strikes, Arab leaders have been calling counterparts in Washington to complain about comments from Mike Huckabee, the U.S. ambassador to Israel. In an interview with Tucker Carlson, the conservative commentator that aired on Friday, Mr. Huckabee said Israel had a right to much of the Middle East, outraging Arab diplomats in countries that the United States is hoping will support, or at least not openly oppose, an American attack on Iran. And that includes Saudi Arabia saying, yeah, we're not going to actually let you attack Iran from our state anymore. So if they were planning on, you know, having bases inside areas controlled by Saudi Arabia, they'd be launching attacks on. That wasn't possible after Mike Huckabee did more than this little snippet says. He didn't say that Israel had a right to much of the Middle East. He said he would put no barriers to them conquering whatever they wanted. He basically said all of the Middle East is theirs by divine right. And it's just a matter of killing the people that are, you know, occupying the place now. Which I can understand why the people who live there and run those countries wouldn't be so happy with the ambassador to America basically giving Israel the green light to kill or conquer all of them. It's less of a, it's like, what a bizarre situation. It wasn't like a faux pas. It wasn't like a diplomatic accident. It was just like the genuine beliefs of the American leadership had never been expressed in public, had never been questioned, had never been asked about. And so when actually put on the spot and actually when the ambassador to Israel expresses what his actual beliefs are and what the American government actually has planned, the Arab governments are like, what the hell? We're not going to stand for this. Like, this is so strange. I guess you can call it a diplomatic faux pas. You could call it a diplomatic, you know, accident. I don't know what you call it, but no, it's just the truth. New York Times details succession plan for Iran. Iran views U.S. strikes as inevitable and imminent. U.S. officials say U.S. is willing to hold another round of talks Friday if Iran submits proposals soon. Iran is basically going to the mattresses. They don't look like they are planning to negotiate at all. And it's not a surprise because the negotiations are rigged completely against them. Why would they? Why would they engage in negotiations with a country so aligned to Israel, so willing to kill negotiators or just lie blatantly? Obviously, they're not going to do that. And so what they're doing now, what the Iranian leadership is now doing, is giving orders to all of their soldiers to continue to fight on regardless of communication. So this was a lesson they learned from the Iraq War. During the Iraq War, by taking out some of the main nodes of the Iraqi military, they were able to cut off communications, and yet a lot of the battalions of the Iraqi military not getting orders, basically just surrendering because they didn't know what the hell else to do. And so Iran is, taking measures against that inevitability by basically giving orders to all of their people, you fight to the end, like Japan in World War II. So it doesn't even matter if we take out the leadership. It doesn't even matter if we, you know, flatten their capital. They've got 90 million people in an incredibly mountainous region that we're not going to conquer in the next 10 years, no matter how much energy and resources we put towards it. And we don't even have energy or resources to put it towards it in the first place. According to the people who know, like this, U.S. military chief said to urge Trump to exercise caution on any action against Iran. The U.S. military chief has reportedly warned U.S. President Donald Trump that an extended military campaign against Iran could have significant negative effects on the U.S. and its military preparedness. According to the Wall Street Journal, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dan Kane, has warned Trump that an extended conflict, quote, could incur significant cost to U.S. forces and munitions stockpiles. The newspaper reports that concerns have also been voiced that if the U.S. uses up large amounts of air defense munitions and other items that are in limited supply, it will curtail its ability to counter China in any future conflict. The Axios news site first reported earlier today about Kane's airing of concerns to Trump, who is said to still be weighing his options ahead of schedule with Tehran on Thursday in Geneva. The United States is holding meetings in Geneva with Russian and Chinese delegations about nuclear weapons after the final treaty restricting Washington and Moscow's nuclear deployment expired, a U.S. official said. So, again, Trump is confused for some reason about why his support is collapsing. He does not seem to understand why his supposed successes aren't translating into widespread support. I have the feeling that's because he's surrounded by, I guess in a word, you could say Laura Loomer types. If you're wondering what the hell's going on and what the hell is wrong with the Trump administration, just look at Laura Loomer and imagine 12 of her surrounding Donald Trump. Yeah, no wonder he doesn't know what the hell's going on. He doesn't know who to trust. He's surrounded by a bunch of criminals and liars like Howard Lutnick and Laura Loomer, for that matter. Laura Loomer says, everybody needs to be pressuring the White House to issue a statement condemning Tucker Carlson this week. Don't you love how they just say things like that? Just like commands. Everybody needs to be pressuring the White House to issue a statement. Lady, I'll tell you what you need. I'm going to tell you what you need. You need to go away forever. His efforts to derail the GOP and his nonstop sabotage of Donald Trump must end. Really, because if he'd listened to Tucker Carlson, he wouldn't be in the situation he's in now. His support is collapsing because he keeps listening to Laura Loomer and people like her. Trump's support is declining in exact proportion to the amount of favors he does to Laura Loomer and her friends and her actual country of loyalty. He thinks he can just walk into the White House like he owns the place because his son works there. She's like so seething and jealous. Everyone with moral clarity needs to pressure the White House and end this insanity once and for all. President Trump must condemn Tucker Carlson. Enough is enough. And she's like, would you leave him alone, you bitch? Would you leave Donald Trump alone? My God, it literally everything you say to him is the opposite of what he needs to hear. And she's like, I think he just wants to shut these people up, so he does whatever they say.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us,
We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, supporters will be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.